Yep, Cinco de Mayo indeed. Earlier I was looking for margarita recipes and I said, I don't know, probably the LG's not going to give me a good one. Probably tell me drink papaya juice.
Yeah, or mango juice.
No, but I was actually, you know, I was looking at, how do you say designated driver in Mexican? See, you know, because if you're going to be out doing a lot of margaritas, somebody better be watching the wheels, right?
Oh, absolutely.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing. I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I'm really distressed. I was talking earlier about this survey by the AAA people. And you know, the only thing that it bothered me about, and I wanted your thoughts, is that people tend to believe things they read, especially if it's from a national organization. For instance, if we got a bad write-up in, say, Consumer Reports, let's say that, you know, something was bad about it. People, millions of people read that. Well, you know, there are lots of people that belong to that AAA, and I'm just wondering if they actually use apples to apples, how they could decide that we were so expensive. I just don't get it.
You know, I haven't seen that survey. Obviously, it just came out, so I don't know what the basis of it was, but it seems very high to me. It's $800 a day, right? You got the budget for lodging as
food,
well.
Just food and lodging.
Food and lodging. Yeah. That's very expensive. So, right off the bat, I got questions about it. I'm sure a lot of other people have it, but you're right.
Our tourism officials say that it's half of that. That the real number is about half of it.
But there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
But you see it's embarrassing because it puts us as the most expensive state, and New York being the second most. But New York, we're $7.93 a day. They're $3.20. Now wait a minute. I can't go to New York and spend $3.20 a day. Can you? No way.
When was I? I was there not too long ago, and $3.20 is the hotel room.
Yeah.
Alone.
Well, but you see, this is for the whole state.
The whole state. Okay.
I guess there's motels and other. Yeah. But I mean, we don't have. If you take a look at our accommodations, even our inexpensive accommodations are more expensive than other places. But it's still a deal. I mean, you know, we're Hawaii, and being if we are half of that, which is what the tourism officials are saying, I can live with it. But I'm wondering.
Well, putting it this way, being the most expensive, I can live with that. But the numbers seems to be a little skewed.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You pay for what you get, and if you're going to go to the best place in America or the world, you're going to pay for it. And we are. If we're not the best, we are one of the best places in the world destinations. We got to be one on the top, if not the best.
Okay, let's talk about some of the other stuff. One of the things that we learned also today is that Delta has put up this big, huge surcharge on the airfares. And we are looking at, let's get a report, maybe an update on something you can talk to us, what's been going on sort of behind the scenes, if you will, about convincing some of these air carriers to put more lift to Hawaii, because we still are having a lot of seats because of the demise of Aloha and ATA that aren't going to be coming here anymore.
Well, I can't give you anything behind the scenes, because if I did, then it wouldn't be behind the scenes.
Well, I just, you know, you can't blame me for
trying. No, but seriously, we've been in discussions with all of the airlines about increasing the airlift to Hawaii, and it seems to be the common theme with all airlines right now is that fuel costs are very, very expensive, and as such, they run their business accordingly, and most of them are feeling a pinch, Mike, in a big way. And you're going to see, as you've already seen, more and more rural destinations being either cut out entirely or flights being cut significantly. You're going to see these surcharges for most of these airlines. You're going to see a consolidation by a lot of airlines from here on out. And you're probably going to see more airlines either filing Chapter 7s or just completely shutting down like ATA and Aloha did. That's not going to be unusual. In fact, it might be the common thing that you're going to be seeing happening in
the next few
months.
One thing is, if there is a silver lining, it's that we see this coming. A lot of times when there's a catastrophic event, a world event of some kind that affects tourism, it comes as a surprise. We see this coming. So there are some companies that can do some belt tightening. And there are some people that can say, I'm going to specialize in something else for a while.
you know, I'm confident that we'll get back, if not all of the seats, we'll get back, we'll get back a lot of the seats by within the next few months. The problem is that you're not going to see the kind of airfares that you saw with ATA.
That's right.
You know, ATA was cheap. They were the low cost carrier, and no, I don't think anybody can do that anymore because ATA, I guess, couldn't correct it in time, and so as such, they went out of business. Yeah. So nobody's going to do that anymore. So you can get the seats back, but that's going to prevent a lot of people from traveling simply because that was a big part of their budget. Transportation was a big part of their budget. So as a result of that, we're not going to see maybe the same kind of numbers. We're going to see a little the decrease in the numbers of visitors that we get throughout the year. But I don't think, we're hoping that we can make it up in other areas, and that as such, it won't be as significant as some people may, prognose right now. And the prognosis, it varies depending on who you're speaking to. Mm-hmm. You can get some real devastating prognosis, or you can get some that are, pretty marginal. So I'm confident that we'll get by with this because, as you said, it's something that we see, it's something in front of us, and we're preparing for it. Yep. So it's sort of like with this cargo.
And I want to get into that too. Make a smooth transition into that, because there are some that were criticizing the administration for not declaring an emergency and everything else. I think that, suffice to say, and once again, you couldn't tell us what was going on behind the scenes because then it wouldn't be behind the scenes, but isn't it true that you sort of knew all along that this was going to come to a mutual understanding and that we were not going to have a serious interruption in air cargo in between the islands?
Well, I can tell you this. When we saw this happening, the first thing we did was immediately look to what was most important. What did we prioritize? And that was medical supplies, public safety. That was the first thing we looked at to see that wasn't going to be compromised in any way. And so we were assured that it wasn't going to be compromised, that we had all bases covered that needed to be covered. The other things that people could say was very important, but when you look at it, you know that it's important, but look who's responsible for it, and that's the mail. That's very important. But
yeah.
but you knew that United States Mail Department wasn't gonna let the service get disrupted to the point where people weren't gonna get their mail. That's what they do.
I gotta tell you, when I was a kid, if you wanted to mail something in the Big Island, it took a week. And I know now we got email. Yeah. If you need to have it right now, email and then send the hard copy later.
Yeah, well, we knew the United States Mail Department wasn't going to let this go under. So that wasn't at the top of the list. But what was at the top of the list was exactly what I said, which was public safety, medical supplies, and things that, basically are life endangering. So we had that all covered. We knew what was out there. And it's not to say that people who have products that were perishable, that had been, have other products that are, very important to their livelihood, and their life wasn't important, but we had to prioritize. And so we knew it was gonna write its way. And of course, we were ready to step in if needed to be. But you're talking about, the day after, you had some politicians step up to the plate, and I won't mention any names, but, calling out the Homeland Security, calling on the Department of Defense, and, every agency possible that you got to step in right now and get it done. I mean, again, that's irresponsible leadership. That just shows you the kind of people that you don't want in
leadership. You know what I said, and a lot of people agreed with me. There was an immediate economic opportunity for those smaller companies that were trying to expand to get a little, what do they call, market share, and they did that.
Yep.
And as a result of that, we got some more strong guys, and probably in the long run, rather than more expensive, it's going to be more competitive to ship by air.
And absolutely, and I'm hoping right now that everybody has learned from this, and everybody now has a plan B in order. If not a change in their manner of shipping things, and how it gets to neighbor islands or, across that big blue Pacific Ocean.
Okay, well, you know what? We'll return to this time permitting, but let's go to the phones right now. Before our traffic report, I got Barry in Hawaii Kai. Well, I don't want him to have to wait through a break. Hello, Barry. Thanks for hanging on.
Yes, Honorable Lieutenant Governor, I have a suggestion I'd like you to consider regarding our kids that are athletes, both boys and girls, high school level, and providing them greater opportunity for college education.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're familiar with Doris Sullivan and the work she's done, Pacific Island Athletic Alliance.
Yes, I do.
Even my own son. She provided great exposure when my son was an under-the-radar kid. And, you know, she's been self-financing, and I really believe that the state of Hawaii should actually fund her position to advocate for the young ladies and young men, athletes, student athletes here in Hawaii, to get their name out, to get the videos out, to the statistics, everything out there. Because what a marvelous thing she's done, providing millions of dollars of opportunities for college education when kids might not otherwise have it here. And I think you're aware of the new NCAA restrictions. So it's very hard for head coaches to come here and observe our kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Barry. That's a
You guys are both going to have to fill me in because I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, the service that Doris Sullivan provides is basically one of awareness. She gets the videos, the test scores, the accolades of the athlete out to the coaches by way of either email or letter or whatever it may be.
And she's a nonprofit.
Right, and this, yeah. This in turn allows them to see most colleges and universities across the country, they have these lists of prospective athletes, and they kind of go down these lists, they kind of shop that way, and they look at it, and in that way it narrows their choices, so they can look and they can say, okay, we want a receiver who's maybe about 6 feet, you know, does this and this in the 40, etc., and all of that should be mapped out in this this perspective. And from that, it takes away a lot of their time. They don't have to go fly out. They can see video, and it makes things easier. And she does that. You know, that's something that the DOE should be looking at. I agree with that. I mean, you know, she provides a service that helps a lot of our public school students get out there.
Barry, write a letter to, and it won't just get tossed in the round file, where it will be really seriously considered if I write such a suggestion. Who should it go to, sir?
Oh, I think you should go to the superintendent, Pat Hamamoto.
Superintendent of schools.
Yes.
I would also suggest that, and it almost doesn't matter who it is, if you go to your state representative, a senator or house member, and you say, look, this was happening, this is what happened to my boy in your district by this woman. Wouldn't it be nice to introduce a bill where we could get her services to expand?
She's helped a lot of kids throughout the state, as well as American Samoa. So
just out of curiosity, Barry.
She's somebody that deserves to be included in the administration somehow.
Barry, just out of curiosity, because we got to go to a break, how did your boy, how did this information about your boy come to pass with her getting the word out? How did it happen?
Well, he was injured in the beginning of the year, last year as a junior. Nobody knew he existed. Especially at the end of the season, he was in the state championship shot put and discus.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches were here, didn't see him. So what happened was Doris posted my son's information on his website. Then at the end of this year, my son was still under the radar, even though he had several Division I offers, but he didn't have the level of Division I that he wanted. She went to the coaches' convention, showed his video, and all of a sudden we had lots of phone calls, emails. So my son turned down a Michigan State full-ride football for USC, so that's where he'll be going.
There you go. Home run. Good job. Okay, Barry, thanks very much for your call. That's the way. So, LG, just in because we're so late for the break, just in a general sense and an idea like that, that would be DOE. Could the DOE say, look, we know how important this person could possibly be, and then wouldn't they get somebody to write some legislation about it?
No, they got many resource persons in the DOE, and I can just see this as a spot that's kind of a natural for them, you know, in regards to recruitment and, you know, how they you know, like I said, a resource person, and this is perfect. And they got a lot of good athletes in Hawaii.
All right, plenty more coming up. The Lieutenant Governor's in the house. You know, I got to move into something else. It's another front page story. By the way, Lieutenant Governor's in the house for the whole hour. So you want to join us, you got a comment about just about any state issue, you give us a call, 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, it's toll-free at 1-888-565-8383. Talk to the LG. Now, one thing, you know, I remember when we talked at length about the Next Step Shelter, when it was going to first being built. And everything else, there was a lot of critics about it, a lot of people saying, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. It's not a state deal. And by the way, where you're putting it, nobody's going to go there. Number one, it was full from day one. It's been pretty much full ever since then. And now, from what we understand, is the Office of Hawaiian Affairs are now not going to be probably breaking ground until 09. So there's a possibility that this Next Step shelter is going to stay there for a while longer. If it didn't, we'd have 200 families in crisis.
Well, we're making, you know, it just helps us. It gives us a reprieve a little bit longer. I mean, we were, our primary plans were for the Pūahala public homes up in Kalihi. And even that has now a little pushback from the Hawaii Public Housing Authority, as well as from some of the residents there, I believe, who feel that some of these Next Step residents are jumping ship, mm-hmm. line in regards to these homes. But again, it's something that needs to be worked out. But yeah, it gives us a little more time, Mike. And you're right about how many people occupy the shelter right now. But there's been a lot of success stories in regards to people who have transitioned to homes and rentals, you know, and are more self-sustaining right now. Mm-hmm. So the program's working. We're helping families throughout Hawaii. Families want to help themselves. Obviously, this is not just a handout for people to come in and live off the state and be dependent on the state and other programs for whatever time period they can make out of it. So it's obviously a valuable project. It's something that was long overdue, and I'm glad that we did what we did. And this kind of goes in line with something that didn't get the veto. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't get overridden. Her governor's veto didn't get overridden. That was her emergency powers. As you know, this session we've been talking about it on several occasions. The legislature passed a law which was going to restrict her veto. Her emergency powers. Mm-hmm. And it arose out of this homeless issue that we had a couple of years ago. And legislators were upset. They felt that the governor used her powers inappropriately to address our homeless issues.
I remember
here.
That, sure.
And I don't know how they can say that in light of what we saw on the west coast of Oahu, as well as downtown Honolulu and across the state. This issue had escalated to that point where we had people defecating on the beaches. We had people living on top of one another. It was at that point where, if there was ever a time to declare an emergency, that was the time. And as a result of that, you've seen a lot of good come out of it. So it was interesting that, first of all, they proposed that. And, mm-hmm. and they openly admitted that was the reason why they submitted this bill. But then it was pretty ironic, if you want to call it that. And I think that's being benign if I say it was ironic, that when we had this problem with Aloha, the legislators came back to the public and said, we would love to help you with this, but we can't.
Yeah.
Governors have to declare an emergency before we can help you guys with this problem.
Yeah, it's almost as though, and I said this on the air, it's almost as though they said, well, look, Governor, we're going to tie your hands, but we're going to untie them for a day. Go make this emergency, then we'll tie you up again.
And it just it shows you the nature of the legislature and how they enact bills. And I hope the public realize, I mean, I hope, first of all, the public has recognized this. And then, more importantly, are taking notes on it, and they're going to vote accordingly this coming election, because every legislator is up for re-election.
Yep.
At least half of the senators are, and now is the time to make this change. This is when we have to make these changes. There's no question about it that we have to change leadership in the legislature. It's just not working out. And we can go over some of these other bad bills that we had in the legislature. No, that's just
We're going to do that. We're going to get a report card. But first, I want to get to the phones. I also got to get to a break. We're 1 minute away from the news and traffic. But real quick, let's go to Timothy, who is homeless, he says, living in a van. Timothy, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, what do you got?
Well, look, I'm homeless. I'm homeless, and I don't want to be broad brushed into what a lot of other homeless are doing out here. I'm homeless. I live in a truck. I've got racks of tools on the top of my truck. I got tools. I work for a living. Still can't afford the rent. But I still live in my van. I've got a GE license. I'm doing everything legal. My van's legal. It's insured. I'm doing everything by the book. But I'm still homeless. And I think that the $1,000 cap on a GE license, I think that's kind of shallow for a small business trying to get started here. But I think there's another issue here that as far as being broad brushed by HPD out here, like we're all doing drugs or we're doing this or doing that. We're not all out here doing drugs. A few of them are, a few of us are not. And I've got a daughter in Iraq. Her mother died on Memorial Day. I've got our only child who just finished her first tour in Iraq. And I'm being harassed out here by HPD telling me that they don't give a rat's behind what my daughter's doing in Iraq. Well, you know, it really hurts being out here in the first place living in our van. We can't afford the rent. And now we got HPD coming down on us and telling us, well, I don't really give a crap, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's hurt on top of hurt on top of hurt on top of hurt. I go to my case management people. I ask for the right kind of help. Not give me anything. Help me to help myself. Do some copies for me on your copy machine. Do some things to help me to help myself. And they can't think outside of the box. So that's my issue. Not all of us are out here doing drugs. Yes, many are. But a few of us are out here trying to work our way out of this poverty abyss.
Thanks very much for your call, Timothy. And I know it's like you said before, LG, there's plenty of people that are very uncomfortable being out there. They don't want to be out there, but it's sometimes hard to get back in.
Absolutely, and that's the kind of people that the First Step shelter is helping, and likewise with the one out in Waianae. I would suggest that's the kind of place that you should be in, Tim, right now, because you can get those kind of services, you know, and that's needed. But I applaud you for doing what you're doing.
Okay, we got to take a look at traffic. We'll get back to the phones in a minute. You know, worms in the tequila, you have a designated driver. Enjoy Cinco de Mayo. But you know, I don't know if a virgin margarita doesn't sound to me. You gotta have at least one.
Well, put the worm in it. Yeah, I mean, at least have the worm in it. Yeah.
Okay, we got plenty more coming up with the LG. We're gonna get back to the telephones real quick. But if you'd like to join us, the number is 521-8383. We gotta go to Curtis and Mililani, who waited like a really long time. Hello, Curtis. Thanks for being patient.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask a question, and, you know, I might sound naive, but, you know, once Oahu comes fully curbside recycle, is there any chance that maybe something could be done about getting rid of the 5-cent bottle tax for Oahu?
I think maybe LG, you got to explain the difference between that program and curbside recycle.
Curtis, I don't think that's a naive question. I think that's a very astute question because I'm with you on that. It should be one or the other, but they're two separate programs. The curbside recycling program is by the city, and that's absolutely free. And that's pretty much what a lot of other cities of our size have been doing for the longest time right now. So we're a little late getting aboard on that. And it's more comprehensive than just, you know, bottles and cans. The High Five is a state-run program, which we agree. We agree with the intent of it, the purpose of it, which was basically to take bottles and cans out of the landfill, get people more environmentally conscious, and to recycle. But the problem with that is the way we're paying for it. We're paying for it with basically 6 cents, and you only get back 5 cents. And the state is the administrator of that program. In other states in which you have a monetary rebate such as the one we have the one the state is running right now, you'd have the stores and the vendors that are selling these cans and bottles to run the program themselves, so you don't have to have that administrative cost. So in other words, if I bought it from Safeway, I'd go back to Safeway and redeem my cans and bottles there and get back my 5 cents. And so there was no need to have an administrative cost. And that's what we're not doing. So what I would suggest that we do is we get rid of this High Five program. We get rid of the state program and have the city and the counties from throughout the state run a curbside recycling program, because that's the way it should be done.
Yeah, because, see, I would just throw my stuff in the rubbish can, but I cannot throw away 5 cents. You know what I mean? I can't afford that.
True, but everybody's going to have to start thinking recycling, and it's much more than just cans and bottles. It's green waste. It's papers. I should say it's cardboard and papers, etc. So there's a whole bunch of things that we're going to have to learn how to recycle if we're going to really take care of our state, because landfills are not where it's at, and this is just one way everybody can get involved right now.
Oh, okay, yeah, I just wanted to know, you know, that way at least, you know, we can put them in the blue bin.
Absolutely. Thanks,
okay.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you, Curtis. You know, and it's true that I actually said earlier that I want to secede from the state with regards to the High Five, once we get curbside recycling, right. Because I would rather put my beverage containers in the blue bins and know that it was going to get recycled and reused and the money would go somewhere. But like I'm like Curtis, not at a nickel a pop.
Yeah,
charge me a penny or two when I buy something just for the privilege of being able to use the container and then go recycle it when I'm done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so now, you know what? We need to do this. Every year we try to sort of rate the session. First of all, I'm disappointed that the session is over. But, you know, that's the way it is. We don't have a full-time legislative body. But there were a lot of things. There were some good, the bad, and some ugly. So let's talk about some of those. We knew that before. One of them you alluded to a little while ago, and that was this attempt at relieving some of the administration's power with regards to emergencies. And it failed to get governor's veto overridden.
Right. So that's that bill has been vetoed, and right. it's not going to be law. But there was another bill that was, I believe it was the veto was they overrode her veto, and there's two bills actually. Mm-hmm. They're kind of two bad bills. One that was not the legislators. Did not override her veto was regards to the electoral votes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I say that's a bad bill simply because, to me, it takes away this. It takes away our right as a small state to have some kind of impact on the presidential election. The example is real simple. If the way it is right now, the way the law has changed now, so what it means is popular vote prevails. You don't get the electoral vote. So what that means that in Hawaii, in past elections, Richard Nixon would have got the electoral votes instead of Hubert Humphrey.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush would have got the electoral votes instead of Michael Dukakis. And this is George Bush 1.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, George W. Bush would have got it as opposed to John Kerry, because George W. Bush got the majority vote, the popular vote, mm-hmm. Over John Kerry across the United States, whereas here in Hawaii, John Kerry had the popular vote,
mm-hmm.
so he wouldn't get it. So it takes away that impact that we as a small state have in presidential elections, and that was the whole idea behind the Electoral College. Some say it's outdated, it's not the way it should be, but I think it's more of a reaction to what happened back in the 2000 presidential election. And so as a result of that, people say, we got to change it. But I think this is the wrong way to change it.
You know, what's interesting to me, and we just saw an example of this, right now in the Democrat primaries, there was a huge effort for the first time of all places in Guam. I mean, Obama opened up an office there in Guam, and they went through this dance, and it still ended up out of the caucuses. He won by 7 votes, and so what happens? But it's still split. Obama and Clinton get two pledged delegate votes, and then there's 3 undecided who can make up their own mind.
Those are the super delegates.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little different in the primaries, but I mean, in the primaries, if that's what you want to call mm-hmm. it. But the other bill was in regards
to the presidential election.
Right. And I'm going to switch issues here. We're going to talk about the union bill. This is the bill in which right now, if you're work in a company that wants to make it a union, to unionize the employees, they would recruit, and you'd have a secret ballot election as
right.
to whether or not,
which is the way it's always been.
It's always right. been. That's the democratic process.
Right.
What the legislators were going to do is they submitted a bill that said no, it's going to be open. It's going to be an open ballot now. So in other words, I'm the union rep over there, and I get to see exactly how you vote.
Yeah, I couldn't
believe
that.
So if you voted against the union, and now let's just say it so happens that more people voted in favor of the union, now you're unionized. You can see how, now I know Mike Buck didn't vote for the union.
Yeah, you know what, here's the deal. We all know that in previous elections of all kinds, especially here in Hawaii, let's say that you're in a union, and your union highly endorses, you know, this candidate. And they expect you. They sort of say, hey, you know what, Duke, you're going to go vote for the kind, right? And you say, you might say, yeah, just to get them to stop bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's intimidating, especially if it's a boss. But when you get in that booth and that canvas hits up against your Okoli and you're the only one in there, that's when you have your power. That's when you have, as an individual, the power of your vote. And to have that power taken away over something so personal as that I'm going to either have to be in a union or not be in that, I couldn't believe that.
That's a great analogy. That's exactly why the governor vetoed that bill. And luckily, it was not. They did not override that veto, so it is not law. But that's where I hope. And union members, more than anybody else, should, just for the analogy you just cited, should understand the importance of the secret ballot, of not having an open ballot when it comes to being represented, you know, by a union, you know, or anybody else.
You know, actually, example has shown exactly that point, that in many, many times past, where there's been a overwhelming endorsement by all the unions on one candidate, and then that candidate loses in an election, it just goes to show you that people will take a lot of information with a grain of salt, but they're going to make their own decision up in that booth.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, the LG and I are here at 521-8383. Jason Yotuda is out there. Okie dokie. Me and the LG, we got the phones all lit up like a Christmas tree. Get as many of you as we can in here. 521-8383, the number from the neighbor islands is toll-free, 1-888-565-8383 on Cinco de Mayo. Jim on the freeway heading nowhere is next. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Same to you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I just wanted to have you spend a few minutes on some of the good stuff at the ledge, like the fact that we're going to get the vote to have a con-con.
There you go. Well, that's going to be on the ballot, and we need. You know, of course, I'm in favor of having a con-con. So we
30
need,
years.
Yeah, we need everyone to say yes, and we need people to vote on that. Don't leave it blank. So, you know, if you're going to leave it blank, vote yes. But if you leave it blank, it's going to count as a no vote. This is one of those things that we need to change. But it seems like we're going to have a con-con to make that change so we can have it in our Constitution that says a yes vote means yes, a no vote means no, and a blank vote is blank. So, yeah. But that's why we need a con-con. You're right on that. Absolutely.
That's right. And the way I look at it is if you don't feel opposed to it, you should vote yes for the rest of us.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, for those that are willing to actually do one, I agree. I remember the last one. You know, I hate to tell you that I'm getting old, but for 30 years, it's about time to take a look at things because things change.
They've changed a lot.
Actually, you know, the last time we had that blank vote and we had to sue and all that stuff, Mark Bennett, the current AG, was our lawyer that sued to have the state of Hawaii courts ruling that a blank vote is a no vote overturned, and then the legislature changed the law.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, exactly.
He's a good guy.
Exactly.
Okay, my friend, thanks for the call, and I agree, and I'm 100% for it, and you can hear plenty more about that. Don is out in Neva Beach. Hello, Don.
It's John, Mike.
Hi, John.
Hey, Mike, LG, got two quick questions for you. One is, what's LG's opinion on this Supreme Court ruling that they're currently looking at concerning the Second Amendment? How's that going to affect us here in Hawaii? And the second one is, are we ever going to have legislation?
You know, we got no idea what you're talking about, Don. Our connection is so bad. LG, did you get the first question?
No, not really.
Yeah. Can you try repeat your first question, Don?
I said, I'd like to know the...
Yeah, Don, I'm really, really sorry. You're going to have to... and I'm not sure you can even be able to get back into this program. You're coming in totally garbled. I'll try to put you on hold. We'll see if it gets a little bit better. And let's skip ahead and we'll go to Lee on the island of Maui. Hey, Lee.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
I was wondering if the lieutenant governor knew whether or not the governor or himself had been rationalizing whether or not we can get rid of the ethanol in our gas, since it causes us less gas miles per gallon and it's an imported product, and it's just raising our gas prices.
Yeah, that's an issue that I've been reading a lot about, and I know the governor. We haven't had time to sit down and discuss that, but I know that some of these issues did come up when that... if you remember the history of ethanol, it actually, the rules on ethanol were passed I believe at least 10 years prior to our administration coming on board. And it was just a matter of basically implementing those rules is what, and that's exactly what we did. We implemented the rules that already had been passed and I wouldn't say drafted in the final form that it was when it got implemented, but it was on the verge of doing so. And we just kind of, we finished the process. And so those were some of the issues I remember that were being brought up at that time. But right now, it seems to be developing to the point where it seems to be a real strong issue as to why it should be revisited. And I'm not afraid to revisit anything that that we've done in the past that may seem to have changed, or maybe we just didn't take a good enough look at initially. But I haven't sat down and spoken to the governor about that yet. But I've been looking at this very carefully, and I hear the arguments about that loud and clear. So it's something that's caught my attention, and I'm getting a lot more educated on it than I would say on a lot of other things right now. So thanks for bringing that up.
Hey, thank you very much. Yeah,
thanks very much, Lee, from the island of Maui. Sue in Ala Moana is next. Hello, Sue.
Hi. Can you educate me a little bit? Because I don't know about, I haven't lived here 30 years, and I don't know about the other earlier con-cons. What is to prevent that con-con from becoming just another legislative session where we end up with something worse than we have now? Like, I think, I love the ballot initiative thing, but is there some way that says that the people at the con-con can bring about a change?
Yeah, let's explain what a con-con is. You know,
it's a constitutional convention.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's not legislation. In other words, you're not legislating law. You're looking at the Constitution, and for instance, in the last Constitutional Convention, they adopted a term limit for the governor and lieutenant governor. In other words, prior to that, governor and lieutenant governor were unlimited terms; they could serve as long as they wanted to. Right now, that seems to be a hot topic for a lot of people in regards to our current legislators. They're the only body of elected public officials that don't have a term limit. We have term limits for city council members as well as for executive branch, and this may be something that they want to visit. Secondly, we 30 years ago, we adopted a balanced budget, but this may be the time where we want to look and see if we can have something that's stronger than a balanced budget. Some people may want to have a spending limit. Now, these are things that could come out, and so you're not legislating. You're basically looking at the Constitution and how you can change it. For instance, the Department of Education. Right now, we have a central Department of Education. People might want to split that up and have several districts in the state of Hawaii.
Right, but who's gonna serve on this thing, and how will we know if we're gonna have sensible people, or if it's just gonna be more of the same?
It's you elect. It's that is already in the it's already in the Constitution and in the laws as far as how you elect people to represent you. It'll be delegates, and this is something that needs to be hammered out by the legislature. They would determine how many delegates would get elected, how the election would be conducted. In other words,
gives me a lot of confidence.
Okay, Sue, I'm going to have to drop you because you want to argue about it instead of learn about it. Kua'ika is next about recycling. Hello.
Aloha.
Yes, sir.
Ever since the curbside recycling issue started, there's two facts you haven't been telling people. I know it's a city thing, not you.
Well, it is a city thing, so be real quick, because the lieutenant governor's with the state.
First thing...
Yeah, Kua'ika, it is a city thing, so that's going to be for the mayor's show. Do you have a question for the lieutenant governor of the state?
Yeah, why are you not telling people that the city's going to make a huge profit at our expense? And also, why are any responsible public official telling people to put their refundable recycling in the blue bins?
Well, I don't know anybody who said that. Okay. Do you? You have issues. You know, I think you ought to be calling back when we got the mayor in here, Kua'ika. Thanks. Don on a cell phone. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, Don, go ahead.
Lieutenant Governor, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
You know, the national media got the misconception, I believe, that the state of Hawaii issued licenses to illegal aliens. Did we do that at one time? How did they get that all fouled up?
Are you talking about driver's license?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know how that got out. I didn't even know that was a message that was getting out to the national media.
Yeah, they said Hawaii was one of the states that issued a license.
Well, we're going to have to correct that if that's true.
Yeah, because it's not true.
No, it's not true at all.
Okay, we're going to be, we're out of time. You know, and for those of you that want to ask city questions, I appreciate it. But, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it's been said on this program many times. We put the state administration in an awkward place. They're not speaking for the city and vice versa. So, you know, we'll get back to that when we have the mayor in here, which will be pretty soon. LG, nice seeing you again.
Same here, Mike.